Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Dynacons Systems and Solutions Q1 FY27 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Tanishka Tanvi from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Sonia. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Dynacons Systems and Solutions Limited Q1 FY27 earnings call to discuss Q1 FY27 results. We have the senior management of the company on call, Mr. Parag Jedalal, Executive Director, and Mr. Dharmesh S. Anjaria, Executive Director and CFO. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. May I now request Mr. Parag Jedalal to take us through the company's business outlook and financial highlights, subsequent to which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your continued interest in Dynacons and are pleased to welcome you to our Q1 FY27 earnings call. Q1 FY27 was an important quarter for the company, marked by strong order inflows, continued margin expansion, and significant strategic wins across private cloud, data center infrastructure, AI-ready infrastructure, and enterprise technology solutions. While revenue for the quarter was impacted by the timing of deliveries and extended OEM-led times affecting execution of certain orders, the underlying demand environment remains healthy, and our order book strengthened significantly during the quarter. We therefore view the revenue impact as a timing-related issue rather than any change in customer demand or business momentum. The broader technology landscape continues to be shaped by the rapid adoption of AI, cloud computing, cybersecurity, and data center modernization. Enterprises and institutions are increasingly investing in mission-critical digital infrastructure, creating long-term opportunities for trusted technology partners with strong execution capabilities and deep customer relationships. Dynacons is well-positioned to participate in this opportunity through its integrated offerings spanning data centers, cloud, AI-ready infrastructure, cybersecurity, digital workplace solutions, and managed services. During the quarter, we secured several marquee wins from leading institutions, including the Reserve Bank of India, NPCI, Central Bank of India, and J&K Bank, Jammu and Kashmir Bank. These wins reinforce our position as a trusted partner for some of the country's most critical technology infrastructure projects and strengthen our visibility across both project-based and recurring revenue opportunities. Our strategic priorities remain unchanged. We continue to focus on expanding our data center and cloud business, strengthening our AI and cybersecurity capabilities, increasing the contribution of managed and annuity-based services, and continuing to deepen relationships with customers across BFSI, government, PSUs, and enterprise segments. With that, I will now hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Dharmesh Anjaria, to take you through the financial performances and key developments during the quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, Parag, and good afternoon, everyone. Q1 FY27 was a quarter of strong order momentum and improving profitability. Even though the reported revenue was impacted.
Sorry, conference हो रहा है. बहुत लोगों में कॉल करा ना, तो लोग बोल रहे
हैं कॉन्फ्रेंस. Excuse me. Can you put it on mute, please? Yeah. Q1 FY27 was a quarter of strong order momentum and improving profitability. Even though the reported revenue was impacted by execution timing of certain projects, Our focus during the quarter remained on strengthening our order book, executing large customer engagements, and positioning the company for long-term growth in high-value technology infrastructure segments. Let me address the revenue performance for the quarter. Revenue from operations for Q1 FY27 stood at 313 crores as compared to 328 crores in Q1 FY26 last year. The primary reason for this temporary decline is due to the extended delivery lead times on certain orders due to OEM and supply chain lead time issues, which have deferred execution and revenue recognition during the quarter. Importantly, these orders remain on hand and the customer demand remains intact. As delivery and project milestones are completed, the corresponding revenue recognition will also follow. Therefore, we view this as a timing-related impact rather than a weakening in the underlying business environment. The profitability remained strong for the quarter. EBITDA for the quarter increased to rupees 40 crores. Profit after tax stood at approximately rupees 20 crores and earnings per share stood at 15.54. These results reflect continued discipline, a favorable business mix, and an increased contribution from higher value infrastructure and service engagements. The most significant development during the quarter was the strength of our order inflows. We secured a 750 crore mandate from the Reserve Bank of India for private cloud infrastructure, a 267 crore project from NPCI for the data center augmentation, a 125 crore mandate from CBI involving AI-ready infrastructure and containerization platforms, and a 25 crore ERP implementation engagement from J&K Bank, among other orders. These wins further strengthen our positioning across private cloud, data centers, AI infrastructure, and enterprise technology platforms. As on date, our order book stands at approximately 3,104 crores, providing strong visibility for future execution. Importantly, the order book contains several multi-year engagements with support, managed services, and recurring revenue components that enhance revenue visibility and customer stickiness. Our immediate focus is on disciplined execution and conversion of this strong order book into revenue. In addition, our bidding pipeline stood at approximately 6,650 crores. Across data center and cloud, networking, workplace solutions, and managed services. This pipeline, together with our existing order book and the deep customer relationships that we have, provide a strong foundation for future growth opportunities. Looking ahead, we remain focused on growth, disciplined execution, improving revenue quality, and increasing the contribution of recurring and annuity-based businesses. We continue to see strong opportunities across data center modernization, AI-ready infrastructure, cybersecurity, and managed services. And we believe that Dynacons is well positioned to benefit from these industry trends. With that, we will now open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhijain from AG Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, good afternoon. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
First of all, sir, I know it was a tough quarter, given that you know the growth was stagnant. But as I said earlier, also I believe that the long-term trajectory and what you guys have done over the last 10 years is phenomenal. So hoping that this was just a glitch and you will be back to your growth phase. Sir, I understand you don't give guidances and you have been transparent in terms of sharing all the order wins and all the deals that you've been getting. But just because, to investors who are there and who are constantly tracking your company. It would help us to understand how are you seeing quarter two, quarter three, because you are in the middle of quarter two now. You know, it was already guided earlier on the call that quarter one was not basically a slow quarter. It was just that certain deliveries got deferred. So could you just help my investors understand and give some confidence as to how Q2 and Q3 are shaping up and, you know, are you back on the growth phase that is known for the last 10 years now? So just some guidance, some not in terms of numbers, but just some more details around it would help in terms of what you're seeing and on the angle.
So, as we have, you know, mentioned, this is more of a timing of revenue recognition rather than a slowdown there in demand. If you really see, during the quarter, we've had added significant orders across, which have been discussed, declared also and discussed there. The demand continues to remain strong across all the segments there. As we mentioned, the revenue impact during the quarter was primarily due to the execution timelines and the lead times which have increased there. As you're aware, across the industry, the demand for AI infrastructure, high-performance servers, GPU, memory, all these has increased significantly. And this has resulted in long lead times for certain components there, which is where these, you know, this has affected the deliveries there and subsequent revenue in this particular quarter. Having said that, we are very confident that, you know, based on the current visibility, the deliveries are expected to normalize progressively, and we are confident of converting this order book into revenue over the coming quarters. So we expect the normalization to happen over the current quarters, coming quarters there. And we expect to continue the growth momentum that you have seen over the last 10 years. We expect that to continue.
That's brilliant, sir. One thing that has been heartening to see in this quarter, and I think in the last two quarters, is that your operating margins are steadily inching upwards. You had also hinted at that in the last quarter, and, you know, achieving a 13% operating margin this quarter is quite phenomenal. And given the play that you are in, right, the AI plays, the data structures plays, the data centers plays, it seems that you are moving on to a higher trajectory orbit. Are we to expect that this operating margin will continue to improve from here on, and you know, Dynacons has entered a new orbit of mid double digit operating margins from here on?
Okay. So see, the improvement in margins was primarily driven by a better business mix, disciplined execution, and higher contribution from value-added infrastructure and managed services segments. As you are aware, we do not provide specific margin guidance. However, we continue to focus on, you know, the high-value solutions in all these areas where we see healthy demand and attractive business opportunity. Margins may fluctuate from quarter to quarter depending on the project mix and execution timing. But you have seen that, you know, our margin profile over the years has been steadily improving there as our business mix has, you know, improved. And we expect this trend to continue in the future.
Great, sir. Hoping that, you know, we have just arrived at in one of the big leagues now for having operated beautifully in the last 10 years. And hope you keep up the growth momentum that you have been delivering. And all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please proceed. Madhur Rathi, your line has been unmuted. Please proceed.
Sir, I hope my voice is audible.
Yes, you are audible.
Hello. Sir, so could you give us the pre-Ind AS EBITDA margin for this quarter? Or the pre-Ind AS operating profit number? Pre-Ind AS, can you just repeat because we lost.
Sir, so basically this 40 crore EBITDA in Q1 includes lease rental also, which I believe has increased significantly year-on-year. Sir, so which is basically distorting the EBITDA number because lease rental is from no stretch of imagination is it part of EBITDA. So if you could just tell us that out of this 40 crore, how much is the lease rent?
See, the amortizations have been mentioned in the revenue there. Now, see, the lease rental is on account of, you know, different type of projects. One is obviously on account of device as a service projects where these are, you know, directly contributing to the revenue there. Second is there are certain assets which have been purchased for our core banking as a service project there, which are essentially in the capital nature. You know, these are fixed assets which have been purchased on lease. So honestly, you know, fully classifying lease assets and removing them completely from this would not be a right measure to, you know, correlate the revenue as you have been mentioning because it consists a mix of both of these assets there. However, the amortizations have been mentioned there, and you will be able to calculate the same. We are not giving any specific differentiation between these two.
Sir, actually, where I'm coming from is that if we see last year, our lease rental was 30 crore, and year before it was 11 crore. So this I'm only talking about the repayment of lease rental, which is mentioned in the financing activity of cash flow statement. So, and last year, our basically right to use asset, it jumped up significantly. So that is why in this current Q1, I believe since the right to use asset has gone up significantly last year, then obviously the lease rental will also have increased, which would have distorted the EBITDA number, which basically includes the lease rental. Sir, so since we do not have the cash flow statement for first quarter from which we can subtract the lease rental, that is why I'm asking you.
Right. So see, all as a business, you will definitely have seen that we have because, you know, the as a service business has grown over the last 2 years. So you will definitely see the increase in numbers there or increase in the lease costs also and the corresponding revenues there. So really, if you ask us on this because cash flow is definitely not provided in part of this numbers there here, but whatever the amortizations are, they have been provided there with us there. But what we can say safely that, you know, whatever the lease rentals which have, you know, come in the last year, currently there is no new project in the first quarter which has been announced there for, you know, any DAS, significant DAS project has been announced in the current quarter. So the number would be similar to the last year there. Having said that, yes, obviously, since our as a service business is growing, the lease cost will be going up there correspondingly there. As I mentioned, they will consist of both device as a service and some fixed assets taken on lease for our core banking service.
Sir, so since the PBT year-on-year is flat, whereas the EBITDA shows significant growth, I am assuming the difference would be the lease rental, and hence the PBT is, say, is flat Y-on-Y. Is that understanding correct?
The difference is on account of depreciation also and lease rental, both, because there has been capitalization also.
In any case, now, sir, the thing is that in the past 5 years, we have been growing at 27% CAGR, but past
3 year, the growth has come down to 21%, and last year we grew by around 21%, and this year, at least the first quarter is flat. So, but by and large, sir, you think that we can still maintain the 20% plus growth that we have been growing all this while, despite the higher base that now we sit at?
See, obviously, with a higher base, the base effect will always, catch up with all companies there when once we the base increases over a period of time. So one, the base effect will set in. Two, revenue impacts, we expect as our business mix is increasing there, where we are focusing on more as-a-service opportunities, and we are focusing on larger data center and such projects there. We definitely expect this business mix to improve the profitability there, and that's what we are working on there. So what you see, we are working towards improving this there, and you are seeing that over the last years we have improved that, and we will continue to strive there. We don't provide any margin guidance, so unfortunately I'll not be able to tell you that what we expect there. But yes, definitely efforts are being on to work towards the same.
Sir, and this 3,100 crore order book is executable within how much period?
So, some of the projects, as I have mentioned in the earlier call also there, some of these projects are 5 years there. Some of them are immediate execution projects there. If you want to put a number to it, I would say, 18 months to 24 months for to put a number, average number for the order execution there. But overall, some of these are immediately executable to around 5 years.
Got it. Now, sir, coming out to the major issue of raw material price increase or whatever the component availability, sir, how are we passing on the prices to customers, or are customers delaying the execution cycle because of these in a very short period of time so much high price increases?
So see, as far as passing on the price increases there, yes, definitely, because most of our businesses through large projects or through contracted, orders, that is where we are able to, ensure that the hit of additional cost does not land on us there, because we have back-to-back support from the OEMs towards the same. Having said that, obviously, when budgets are shooting up by, let's say, 30%, 50% there, so customers are definitely going to try and see how they can, best manage this kind of a scenario there. While certain mission-critical applications, they are moving ahead with the purchase there. For certain non-critical applications, they are dividing it into priorities there, so immediate priorities are taken up, others are pushed forward there. So yeah, all this is part of the overall scenario there. Having said that, because we have a strong order book, we are very confident there, and the demand is continued there. I mean, we have a very good pipeline there and a very significant demand coming in. So we are very confident of the revenue growth.
Our order book supports our revenue growth, but sir, the major question was because when the OEM's raw material or the memory prices are increasing by 40-50%, will they still provide us support, or they will just ask us to and in that scenario, can we pass on these prices to our customers?
So, in a typical project, once a customer order is finalized, it is finalized in tandem with the OEM there. So at that time, we have the OEM backing and the prices are already loaded in. So once the orders are loaded in, there is, the price does not happen there. So, that is where we are pretty well covered there with any price escalation.
Got it. And sir, for the Azure service, in terms of device and the banking, core banking that we are providing, are we able to get price hikes from our customers for the orders that are yet to be implemented going forward?
Yeah, because see, these projects are not so the device as a service is a project which will go depending on the order. Like for example, let's say currently X customer is taking 1,000 devices. When the next device as a service for, let's say, he's adding additional 5,000 devices, the price does not remain the same. At that time, whatever is the fresh price would get discussed and negotiated. So these are two separate contracts which would run at different price levels.
Got it. Sir, just a final question from me. Sir, there is a new listed company called iValue Info Solutions, and they are more into software implementation. So how does Dynacon places against them? And and it seems that they are much larger into the software implementation. So if you could help us understand what is the right to win for Dynacons in this segment going forward.
So iValue is in a different business segment. They are into multiple things, software being one of them. They also do a lot of distribution of hardware. So, you know, they are not actually end users, but they supply companies like us also there. So it's a completely different segment than us there. We are more in the large enterprise space, both in the BFSI, global enterprise, and in the public sector there. So for us, these are the customer segments are different. Two, the kind of pre-qualifications that we carry to execute projects and participate in such projects is entirely different, and that's a clear right to win for us.
Got it. And sir, there is also one player called Inspirasys. So are they our competitor? Although they are much smaller, but their parent is much larger on a global level, and they seem to be getting aggressive. So are they our competition and a threat to us right now?
Inspirasys, we don't see them in a lot of opportunities as competition. One or two we've come across, but not too much.
Got it. Sir, thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhagya from ONGC. Please go ahead.
Sir, good afternoon. You just told us that there was a dip in the revenue the sector, and there was a dip in the kind of a dip in profits as well. I just wanted to ask, and you are stipulating that this revenue and the profit growth, this will this has happened just because of timing. So can we assume that this will fall back into next period in next quarter? Will it shift to the next quarter?
So as we have already mentioned that, you know, this revenue was impacted primarily by the timing of deliveries rather than a slowdown in demand. So we definitely expect that, you know, the growth momentum which was there will continue there. And we are making all efforts to ensure that, you know, the product mix suitably helps in the margin expansion also. So, you know, all efforts are being made towards that. However, we don't give any guidance in terms of, you know, the revenues or the margins there. But what we can say is that, you know, the momentum that we have seen, the growth momentum, we remain focused on executing and expect to maintain our growth momentum.
Thank you, sir. The reason that I was asking was that in the previous quarter as well, the revenue growth was around 17%, and in this quarter, it has fallen into negative territory. So that's what I was concerned about. Because if we see the closest competitors that we have, that is which is NetWeb, they are growing at an astronomical rate. This quarter, they had a growth of around 170% for revenue on a year-on-year basis. And
which company did you mention?
NetWeb.
NetWeb. Okay.
Yes. So they grew at around 170%, and if I talk about the revenue growth on year-on-year basis, and the profit growth, it was around 80%. And we feel that NetWeb and Dynacons, they are operating in the similar segments. So in that manner, we can say maybe we are losing our customer base to those companies.
So I would, you know, I would not say so. One, see, we are seeing a very, very strong order book there and a strong demand there. And the orders are continuing to be executed there. So I don't see that there is any, you know, change in the overall business momentum there. As far as, you know, the quarter which was there last year and this year, we've already sensitized, and this is across. I'm not referring to NetWeb, or I'm not aware about NetWeb, but there are a lot of, you know, companies like us who are listed there, our competitors who are listed, who are, you know, on a similar or a, you know, much, you know, we are much better off than them as far as, you know, the revenue growth is concerned there, or, you know, sustenance of the order is concerned. So we are very confident that, you know, the demand and order growth that we have will continue to help fulfill and maintain our growth.
Yes, sir, there is one more thing that is just for comparison. We have an operating percentage margin of around 6-7%. This quarter, it has increased by around 4-5%. And congratulations to us, to all of us, that they have improved. But the similar companies who are operating this segment, for example, NetWeb, if we take an example, then they have an operating margin of around 14-15% in the same business. So, sir, could you tell us why we are?
So, again, here I would say that, you know, NetWeb, we note your concern, and we will look at, you know, how the business mix can be improved there. But again, here I would like to submit that, you know, we've shown consistent growth in both revenues as well as margin profile there. And we are working to ensure that, you know, both these areas are, the growth momentum in both these areas is maintained. However, you know, I cannot comment on specific margin profiles for other companies there. I can talk about Dynacons and how we see vis-a-vis competition. We feel we are very much better placed off there. But I think let's talk about Dynacons. We are confident that we'll be able to grow this order.
Again, sir, there's one thing that could you please tell us how much we are spending on R&D? So because I feel that that's the segment on which we spend, then we can get our long-term growth only by spending on R&D.
Mm-hmm.
So, please, sir, please.
You know, specifically, we are not, you know, whatever the R&D expenditure is being done is being done in the regular due course there, and is being undertaken in the regular course of business there. And see, in terms of new technologies, today, Dynacons, we are able to, you know, implement several large mission-critical applications. You please understand, we have done some of the country's largest private cloud deployments there. We have done some of the country's largest SD-WAN rollouts across the country. The e-passport network and security implementation has been done by us there at the Delhi airport and at the data center there. The core banking as a service there. So, you know, we are implementing a very, very wide variety of large technology implementations there. So I'm pretty confident that, you know, whatever initiatives that we are taking in terms of AI implementation and new technologies is definitely good enough for this, and we will continue to innovate.
Okay, and so actually, see, our company is more of, it's mainly a system integrator. We call it as a SI company, system integrator, primarily. But
yes,
if we see If you see, then we will find that we are not having many products right now. We don't have many products, but our competitors, they do have those products. And what they are able to do is they are able to co-sell those products to their various customers and use those products themselves in their entire projects. That's how they are
able to... But that is exactly what we are also doing. We are able to, being a system integrator, we have access to a wide variety of technologies and products that the customers need. See, we all build solutions for our customer needs. We are able to, whether a solution is built by ourselves. See, we are a system integrator. A system integrator is the one who integrates various technologies and provides a solution. So we provide solutions, and we are able to, which I mentioned to you, we are able to provide the leading technologies and solutions to our customers there. In fact, we have very, very good pre-qualifications to participate in large bids for the same. So, you know, I'm not exactly sure as to what products you're referring to. If you're referring to any IP or any softwares, you know, that's a different segment there. We are not in that segment there. So our core business is different.
Actually, sir, just for an example, see, we are using NVIDIA's GPUs, Blackwell GPUs, etc. So, and if we talk about our competitor, just for an example, because what I see is we do not have many competitors in the market. And that's right now it's a good thing because it's a kind of sunrising sector that we are in, this data center and all that. So, one competitor that we have, that is NetWeb, they are having Tyrone. These GPUs, the GPU systems, server racks, etc., servers, etc., they are the name Tyrone. And what they are doing is they are getting these GPUs from NVIDIA, and they have a good relationship and ties with them. So they are using the GPUs and creating their entire range of servers, workstations, etc. And they use those things for complete integrate for execution of their complete projects. That's how they are able to maintain
higher. So NetWeb is essentially manufacturing, designing and manufacturing their own servers. So it is into a little different segment there rather than there. They are more as a OEM there rather than as a system integrator. So I think the comparison is slightly different there. Yeah. So obviously, when being a Indian Indian OEM, they would be building at you know, with end customers there. So they would be wanting to, you know, that is how every OEM starts. You know, they would start with bidding directly, and then slowly and steadily, once their base grows, they would, you know, move to that. But that's a different segment. They are not they are playing a dual role there. While I'm not trying to compare. What we are doing, we are a pure play system integration company there. If there is any manufacturing or this there, we will look at it. But currently, the kind of technology support that we have from Dell, HPE, and other brands, Cisco, etc., is really good. So we really are not seeing that there. But at the right opportune time, we will see whether it makes sense to take it up.
Okay, actually, sir, that was more of a kind of a suggestion, but less of an inquiry, because by doing vertical integration, we would be able to improve our margins. And, sir, there is one more question, sir. See, our market cap, sir, it's around 1,500 crore. And again, if I say we are into a sunrise sector, and we are going with the flow of orders and momentum in the data center field. Sir, how do you see our market cap and our company will grow in the next 5 to 10 years?
Unfortunately, I would not be able to comment on the market cap and the share price growth there. But yeah, from a growth momentum, I think if you see the overall demand that our sector today has there, it's pretty significant there. With the kind of digital transformation and AI implementation happening across all, whether it is at data center, whether it is, you know, whether it is at edge, whether it is on your endpoints. So it's at all levels it is implementing. So that is why we see a very good growth momentum there, and we see this growth continuing for not only us, but other players in the segment as well.
Okay. Thank you, sir, for this answer. There's one thing.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Bhagya. May we request that you return to the question queue?
Okay. Okay. Okay.
The next question is from the line of Bhavna Jain from Avagra Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my question. So my question is on the. Hello? You can hear me, right?
Yes. 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 Yes.
Yeah.
We can hear you.
So my question is on the two revenue segments that we have right now broadly. So earlier, our margins were in the 7%-8%, whatever. So that was because of the hardware procurement or whatever. And then right now, we are expanding into the managed services and the OpEx revenues as well. So can we have a little color on this order book differentiation? How much is it from the hardware procurement, and how much is from the recurring revenues? Because other revenue is recurring, and more cross-selling is expected there. Just a color for the next two, three years at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll give you an example there. So while we are not sharing a breakup of the order book specifically for competitive and other reasons there, we don't share a breakup of the order book there. But what we can disclose is we disclose the major orders that are received there. We are already disclosing out there. And we also disclose how the business mix of the company is growing in the four segments there: data center and cloud, network and security, OpEx solution, and managed services. Now, any project that we undertake today has a flavor of managed services. For example, the private cloud project of RBI there, or any SD-WAN implementation project, or any core banking project there. All these have a managed services component built into the project there. So that is how we've been able to improve the margin profile over the last few years. That is how we've been able to improve the margin profile. So definitely, there is a good amount of services component which is built into these large projects there, which has helped us improve there, and this will continue to be so in the future.
So we consider the margin sustainability at least for one or two years or improvement from here on?
Yeah.
That
is what we are working towards, and that is what we can see based on the growth momentum that we've had in the past.
Okay. Okay. Next question is on this central bank order. So in central bank order, you specifically mentioned that the deployment is of the Blackwell H200 Kubernetes order and all that. So is that the client specification, or it is the company's requirement? I mean, how is that decided on? Because you never mentioned it in any ever order like this. That's the reason for the question.
Yeah. Yeah. See, it is normally whatever is there as part of the RFP is what is mentioned out. So which is where typically whatever is mentioned in the RFP is what we mention out there. So when the RFP is specifically mentioned, that's where it would be given.
Okay. Just the last question on.
Sorry to interrupt, Ms. Bhavna. May we request that you return to the question queue for any follow-up questions?
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Basant Bansal from NBG Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My question is on the fixed assets. Last year, you have added around 158 crore in your fixed assets, but in the last 10 years, you never had a need to build up such a huge asset base. So what things you are doing differently where you had a need of making such huge additions?
Sure. So these assets we've added there specifically for our as a service business. So I mentioned this in our earlier earnings call also, that we've been in the last couple of years, we've been growing the as a service business there. And when we provide device as a service or we provide core banking as a service, the underlying assets which need to be procured have been procured by us, both one as outright purchase there, which are some critical assets there. And second, some of the assets have been taken on lease there, which have been shown as RTO assets, etc. there. So, you know, this is where for the entire as a service business there, which is what we are seeing. And now this as a service business is actually, you know, growing also there.
Okay. So based on such a huge asset block, can we expect a good amount of business volume in say next in 5 years down the line?
Yes, definitely. That's what we are also working towards there. If you see, for the device as a service projects, we have specific revenues already there from those devices there, because you know they have been stored for that specific project. For the entire core banking and service infrastructure, whatever assets that we have procured, obviously we have all the orders from the banks for providing that, and we are further looking at new banks and new other banks for providing that services. So we definitely look forward to improvement in the revenue there.
Okay. And one last thing from my side. So if I ask you that what is your vision 5 years down the line in terms of top line, so can you throw some light on that?
Sorry, we are not providing any guidance in terms of any numbers there, whether it is current year or 5 years there. So I'm unfortunately not able to answer your question. But I can, what we could say is that you've seen our growth over the last 10 years there, or probably over the last 30 years, how we Dynacons has grown, and then maybe you can look at extrapolating that over the next 5 years.
Oh, thank you. This is helpful.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Gunit Singh from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So yeah, my question regarding this property, fixed assets only, right of use assets and property, plant and equipment. So I think it's worth 158 crores currently. So what is the ROC we can expect on these assets? And I mean, our depreciation has probably gone in this quarter was 8 crores. And I think in FY24, our total depreciation was less than 5 crores, if I'm not wrong. So are these, assets currently PAT loss-making, and we expect them to be profitable in the future? Can you just help us understand?
No. Historically, our ROCE has benefited from a relatively asset-light business model. However, when we expand our as-a-service offering, there may be some increase in the capital employed, because these assets may be deployed upfront against the long-term contracts. Having said that, these investments are backed by contracted revenue visibility. So we have revenue visibility against all of these assets there, and it's not that they are loss-making as of currently there. And they are, we have already evaluated their commercial viability, the tenure, funding costs, the expected returns there. While the ROCE may moderate, compared to the historically high levels as our business mix evolves, as the base effect sets in, our focus definitely remains on maintaining the healthy returns that we have seen through a disciplined capital allocation and the profitable long-term contracts. And we are already seeing contracts give the revenue against these assets there. So yes, definitely in the future, we will see
further revenue being generated there. But it's not as if these are, you know, loss making as of today.
Got it. So, I mean, our depreciation has gone up from, say, 2 CR to 32 CR. So, basically, I mean, if you can help us understand the ROC expected when you started these, because, I mean, we need to generate 30 crores of profit.
As I mentioned, we don't give out, unfortunately, we don't give out any numbers or, you know, guidance on what kind of ROC that we can expect.
I don't want an exact number. I just want to understand when you enter.
We have not given out the range, so I'm not able to give you a range there. That's not as part of company policy. We don't give out any guidance there on any numbers there. So that's why we would continue to maintain that.
Got it. And is it currently PAT negative or PAT positive? And I mean, in terms of, say, utilization of these assets of 158 crores, is it so that, I mean, utilization is low currently, and as we scale up, the numbers would be better? Is that a fair understanding?
So initially, during the first leg of implementation, obviously the asset utilization is lower there traditionally, like any project there. However, that said, it does pick up over time there. But for us, it is not as if the asset is not generating revenue there. They are against contracted revenue. They have contracted revenue visibility against these assets. So we definitely have revenue generation against these assets.
I'm sure there will be revenue generation, but my question is coming from the fact that our EBITDA has gone up.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Guneet. May we request that you return to the question queue for any follow-up question? The next question is from the line of Mohit Binge from Nivashir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to ask that since most of the orders that you have been receiving are PSU and like public BFSI organizations, what's the outlook on private banks, and whether there is any structural reason as to why you're not landing more logos there, or is it a matter of focus? And the other thing is, there's a big private AI-based data center build-out for hyperscalers and colo players, right? So are we looking to participate in that wave as well? And if so, like, how would that go?
Okay. So answering both the questions there, first and foremost, we also have private sector banks in our, customer lead, which is, you know, we have a lot of private sector banks who we are working with there. It's just about the order flow and, the scale of the orders that we are probably getting there. There would be some which we may get, some orders which are below the required threshold to report there. So, you know, that is how it is in terms of this. But yes, definitely we have both private sector and public sector banks there. And in terms of, you know, the digital transformation initiatives there, public sector banks are actually, you know, leading the way there along with the private sector banks. So they are, you know, head-to-head along with them. They are doing the same level of implementations there. So that is one part of your question there. On the second question, can you just repeat it in more detail, please?
Yeah, so I'm talking about the big data center projects that are coming up, like, say, the ones that Reliance and Tata do, and there's, like, a lot more alongside those as well. So in that build-out, yeah.
Yeah, so say, we generally work with end customers in their entire data center and cloud journey, because that's much more margin accredited there. You know, all these, while all these hyperscalers are setting up their own infra there, and there, it usually, most of these have direct OEM engagements there. and the kind of margin profile that is available there is significantly lower there. However, that said, that is also on our radar there. So it's not that we are not working on that. We are working with some global, large data center players in India there with whom we are working there and working in that journey there. So yes, we are helping. We are definitely looking at this.
I see. Yeah, that answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the last question from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes. Sir, thank you for the opportunity once again. Sir, so who would be our competitors on the listed space? Because it seems that Rashi Peripheral has also acquired one company called VDA. So sir, are our distributors also getting aggressive into these contracts because of the margin profile and the size, if you could help us understand on the competitive landscape?
Yeah. So if you compare, the listed players in our space there, one company which is, Orient Technologies there, which is listed there, is in a similar space like us there. Rashi currently is not in a similar space there. However, the company that they have acquired, VDA, is in a similar space there. So yes, obviously the margin profile is what is probably, looking at, they're looking at that and they're trying to get into that segment there.
Got it. And sir, is the competitive intensity for these new orders getting reduced because the component prices have increased and balance sheet of smaller players might not support such huge working capital intensity?
Yes.
So if you could.
Yeah. So honestly, yes, the order sizes have increased there. Plus, the league that we are able to, earlier we were, our highest order was around 300-350 crores. Now today we have a single largest order of 750 crores. So obviously the, our qualification and the type of projects that we can successfully bid in has also, that trajectory has also changed. So we are able to, participate in much larger projects there. And there, the level of competition is completely different. We're competing with larger, much larger tier one and global SIs there.
So except for Orient Technology, which other listed competitor is there? And sir, what is our market share with PSU banks and with private banks and overall?
So honestly, there is no market share numbers as published there. Now, Orient, we understand that that's listed there. There is Dave IT, I think, who's in a little similar space there. I don't think there are too many listed SI players there. We have the likes of Coforge, who also does a SI business, but they also have a global business there. So they are doing both the businesses there. So this is there. Wipro is also doing pursuing many facets of business there. So yeah, these are some of the players that are there.
So what is the reason that we have such good share of business with PSUs, whereas from private banks, ultimately somebody must be providing them the services that we are providing PSU banks?
So we also, like I mentioned earlier, we also have private banks with us. It's not that we don't have. Like I mentioned, the order, there is a certain order threshold where we need to declare. Now, if I get 10 orders which are below the declarable threshold, it can, my overall size for a bank A, which is a private sector bank, may actually be higher than a public sector bank which I have disclosed, but which is a single order there. So the order mix, I would not like to, due to confidentiality, I would not like to
reveal further on this. But yes, definitely we have a mix of both private sector and public sector banks.
Thank you. We take that as the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everybody for joining in there. We look forward to your continued support and we look forward to working to, you know, maintain the growth momentum that we have so far. Thank you everybody.
Thank you everyone. Really appreciate your time. Thank you.
On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.